Expectations for preseason game number 3 as the starters will play tonight. I'm not sure, but I do know that we need to look a lot better than we have, and specifically with the starters. I'm not talking about Jack Frost and the second and third teamers. He will get some run tonight. I'm talking about with Tua, even with Cooper Rush, Mike, because he's going to relieve Tua tonight. Those are going to be your three quarterbacks. And I just feel like overall, like I've said, what you felt in preseason game number 2 with Strand leading the way is what we need to feel with the first team. Let's go down and score. Let's right. have let's get a positive drive
right.
going.
Hey, man, let's see the ones look like they're ones, right?
That's right.
And Jake Matthews, certainly Juwan Taylor, you'll be watching him on the right side. He's got the blind side if it's Tua or Michael Penix. You and I were just talking during the commercial break. It really feels like they've always had a plan. Maybe they thought they could get lucky and Mike gets ahead of schedule. So as a Falcon fan, how about this? Is it unrealistic for me to say, okay, I'm not going to see him in Pittsburgh, but I will see him in the home opener against Carolina? How's that?
It's very possible.
Week 2.
It's very possible. You know, and listen, my whole thing in the entire summer was how much of a leash do they give to him? Meaning, hey, what if he balls out and we beat Pittsburgh by 7, 8, 9, 10 points? And you feel really good about his performance. Are you pulling him in week 2 at home? Or are you just going to say, hey, Michael, let's continue to get ready? You know, again, I don't know what his timetable is, but I'm saying, like that's been my thing, Mike. Right. Or are you just going to go, I don't give a damn what Tua does. Penix starts in week 2.
Well, that's just it. Because, again, remember, the Dolphins are paying Tua to be a Falcon. The Falcons are only paying him $1.3 million. It's really a $1.2 million. I think, actually, Cooper might make more money as far as a cap hit. Cooper Rush. But I'm with you. We'll talk more about that coming up before we get out of here at 5, where Falcon pregame begins with Big Bo Johnson. Bo Morgan.
Well,
actually, it's a hybrid. I put them all together.
And Mike
now
Johnson.
You just disrespected me and butchered my name and made some kind of hybrid nonsense. Yeah, Bo Morgan, dang it. Bo Morgan and Mike Johnson.
That is correct, Amundo. All right, that's going to come your way at 5. We'll give you a leaderboard update out here at the Tour Championship. Beautiful day, by the way. We've been blessed, man, with some beautiful
weather.
What's up,
man? Hey, man.
And again, no rain. I'm not wood. All the stuff we've talked about, I know there's a slight chance, but guys, it's still summer, and there's a chance of rain every damn afternoon.
And I know we talk about, you know, athletes and, you know, obviously track stars, football players, basketball, the condition hockey players got to be in, baseball. These cats walking 18 on this hilly conditions.
It's unbelievable.
With the humidity and the heat, these dudes are some athletes, man. If you don't respect the game, then you're missing out. Because you and I just had to hoof it up here with a computer bag, and I thought I needed a defibrillator, but I got to the 10th green.
Oh, it's that, Mike, and then the mental capacity to hit the shot you need to hit.
Right.
Right. I mean, there's a lot to winning these damn tournaments. All right, that's on the way. Right now, though, we got to talk some dogs. So Kirby Smart was on the Steakhouse. I want you to hear a couple of things as we get ready for the dog season.
Steak is elite.
Kirby was talking about what he's seen in camp so far, because everybody's wondering what his opinion is, because only his really matters.
Great competitive character. They respond when challenged. They're enthusiastic at practice. I mean, I've really enjoyed this team, and the leadership on it is high quality. Not a lot of negative attitudes or negative energy towards practicing. We've had a really, you know, fun camp. We've taken a little different approach to this one, but we've had a good physical, been really hot camp. But I got a lot of faith and trust in the competitive character of this group.
They are more experienced.
Right.
I'll say this now, and I'll say it at the end of the season, if things play out the way I think they are. They arguably have the best offensive line in college football. And I think it's being underrated, and it's something nobody's really talking about. We're spending a lot of time on Gunner. He's
right.
got a really good offensive line. Bobo's a big part of that at center.
Defensive line should be stout.
And they've got more experience on the defensive side. I'm with Kirby. He should feel good about what he's seeing in camp. He also talked about how camp is different now compared to, like, the pre-week zero stuff in college football.
Well, the NCAA gave us a different format. They're changing it again next year with the week zero implementation. They're giving you less days in camp and less practices lead up. And we as coaches voted not to start earlier because they started week zero. So in anticipation of that and a little bit of change this year, we had a format of three on, one off. Instead of in years past, we would go 5 or 6 days, I think it was 6 days in a row.
That's Kirby Smart talking about the difference now. And, again, rules and regulations, guys. I mean, again, you know, every year there's a tweak here or there.
Right.
And you've got to adjust. But, as we said, college football Saturday, you get North Carolina, Tennessee. That's an 8.5-point game, by the way. TCU, excuse me, not Tennessee, but TCU is favored in that game against North Carolina. That's in Dublin, Ireland, by the way, on ESPN. Right. San Jose State taking on USC. I think USC is going to be really good, and I have them in the college football playoff for the first time in forever. But they're playing San Jose State at home for, what is that spread, 38.5 for USC to start the season. And then New Mexico State at Florida State, which Mike was talking about, on the CW.
By the way, Steve Belichick, Bill Belichick's son, the mullet kid.
Yes, yes.
He's out. He's like MIA now. Belichick's going to call the defense for Carolina.
Is it some kind of medical situation?
Speculation runs rampant, but okay. A lot of folks feel this is going to be it. One more year for Belichick, and which you and I predicted was going to be a great big nothing.
Nothing.
At North Carolina. And, look, it doesn't affect his legacy as a pro coach, but Steve Belichick not expected to be with North Carolina, according to the Charlotte Observer. So it's a whole situation. It's never felt right. It's never looked right. Bill Belichick and all those stupid nonsense with the girlfriend, it's just the whole thing's a soap opera.
It really is.
Not to mention, who are you bringing in? You lose Lombardi, they dismiss him over some HR beef. The whole thing's a train wreck.
It is, man. His girlfriend's still there, though, right?
Yep, still wearing 28-3 shirts and spas. For T-shirts for spas, mocking Robert Kraft.
All right. More with Kirby,
very
man.
Very petty.
Kirby talking about the five-year rule, Mike, and how that was brought on today. Again, full interview online at Odyssey.com as he was on the Steakhouse. Here's Kirby Smart.
This is another one of those calls and effects. When they made the portal and kids could transfer as many times as they wanted to, they didn't anticipate. I didn't anticipate. Nobody anticipated the value of a year. And what you had is kids saying, well, I can play in four games, but I'm not playing in one more. And so then coaches were short numbers. We didn't have enough players. We couldn't finish seasons. Guys were trying to save their years. And in the climate we're in, this five for five is really clear. You can play every snap. You can play one snap. You can play no snaps. But you got 5 years.
I like it, too. I just think this is the right move.
Right.
This legal stuff we're seeing, and again, if you're just joining us, Day-Day mentioned in what's on his mind about a judge, basically.
Greg Sankey and the SEC specifically mentioned now in the latest suit or the restraining order that LSU has thrown out there, naming them as complainants. Right? Is that where it's at?
That is correct. Let's hear Kirby talk about wanting and getting great players. Look, nothing's changed in his mind about how he goes about this as far as recruiting, even the transfer portal. But this is his response about getting and having great players.
Well, I mean, it's not that I don't – I mean, I want great players as much as the next guy. I mean, everybody wants to get the best team they can, and that's a competitive market to do that. There's a certain lines that everybody has to make a decision that they want to cross, if they feel comfortable with it. And, I'm a enthusiast of traditional college football and it being – college football players, and you can make a case for a lot of these guys in that 2022 class. You know, hey, they wouldn't have gone if they had known this, and that's why I went through those circumstances of so many changes in college football over the last 10 to 15 years. Whether it was one play you're redshirted, four games you're redshirted, extra games or the games postseason, not counting. It's just, it changes and everybody's affected by it. And each group has been impacted differently. So I don't have any qualms about, teams that are trying to have acquisitions and get players from the NFL if they think it's the right thing for their team. I just don't think it's the right thing for ours.
I like it. I mean, that's a balanced response. He's basically saying, I can understand, but still, you and I have kind of said, look, you made that decision to go to the NFL. Kirby said the judge gave you another alternative, but guess what? You're out. Once you cross that line, you become a professional. Even though college football now is semi-professional, it just doesn't pass the eye test. And I think Kirby, he's friends with Lane. These guys are communicating. As you say, it's a very, very close-knit community of former Saban assistants, but still, I love how Kirby answered that. I still would love to see LSU just stop the nonsense, just like Texas Tech. We were waiting for someone there to just say, just stop it already. And finally, someone just said, stop it already, and they pulled everything.
And they did. But that's why I was asking Mike earlier about where's this coming from with LSU? Like, I know everybody thinks.
Who's driving this? These one or two guys is putting you over the top.
Yeah, but I just feel like everybody thinks, like, it starts and stops with Lane Kiffin. And it may have started there, but I don't think it stops there. I think everybody that's involved from the AD to the chancellor and the president, and as I said, even government officials with the state, are pushing the envelope here. And that, to me, is the bigger issue. The deal with Kirby is, and you guys, whether you realize this or not, sorry, Governor Kemp, he's like the governor. And when he says, hey, we ain't doing it, we ain't doing it. And that's it. Right. You know? And I don't think it's that way at every – matter of fact, I know it's not that way at every program. Because you've got so much money involved from people who want to have a say, and they're like, no, we want to get this guy.
But I'm not to paint Lane Kiffin as a sympathetic figure, but you're right. Some of the folks who said, look, either you're with us or you're against us.
That's right.
Why he had to pull out stakes at Ole Miss on a historic season and a chance to win a natty because some of these guys that were going to do everything to get him to LSU said, you've got to be here now. Maybe the same guys behind this nonsense.
It's crazy.
But again, like you can be a great college player and be nothing in the NFL. You can be drafted in the first round as a great college player. So, you know, if they feel these some of these dudes are the secret sauce, like a fourth-string tight end is going to be the difference, it's hard to see from the outside, but they're sticking to their guns.
I agree. All right, man, we got more to get to. A leaderboard update. It's on the way. Guy talk as well. And the latest as we get ready for the third preseason game, what to expect tonight before we get out of here at 5 o'clock with the pregame show on the way with Mike Johnson and Bo Morgan. It's Dukes and Bell.
Club tent. What a scene. What a vibe.
Bring me another gold.
My goodness. And thanks to Mike. We got a great bartender today. Good dude. Big listener. And just did some celebratory shots. It's my birthday.
Yes, sir.
And thanks, by the way. Thanks, man. Love you, man. Best
Happy
partner
birthday,
I ever had.
Baby. Happy
thanks,
birthday.
Baby. 58 is kind of like it's a cool one, but it's not like, you know, 60 is like a milestone, you know. But I will say this, and you and I had this conversation before. I've never, ever felt my age. I feel like a 12-year-old. Like last night, going to ACDC. I've just never, ever, and maybe it shows on the radio or shows on my social media. I've just never felt like, you know, I'm a guy that's, when I was a kid, 58, oh my God, that's old. And last night, walking into ACDC, my cousin Tony was like, man, old people here. I go, where are the old people?
That's right, that's right.
So it's our big birthday weekend. He turned 62, I'm 58, and we always get it in. We always have a good time on the weekends, and this weekend it was PGA and ACDC, Florida State coming up this weekend. But it was funny walking in, and God bless some of these ladies who are my age or your age or older, still, we're going to go see ACDC. I'm going to wear my dirty rock and roll girl outfit.
Yeah, I'm gonna dress up like I used to.
Yeah.
You go, girl.
Well, I mean, do you really want to see Mother Teresa in a leather bustier?
You know what, Mike? Let these women live their dreams out, will you? Will you let these women live? But to your point, yes. I will say this to your point. I have never felt that way either, and this is going to sound weird. I don't even know if I've ever shared this on the radio. There was a time in my life, or in my early teens, I didn't think I was going to live to 30.
Right.
And not because of anything like disease or anything. It was just the idea of society and seeing all the things. And from my parents and my family and hearing all the struggles of just everyday life, like living. And right. I was like, I don't even know. 30 seemed like so far away. Then once I got to 30, I was like, wow. So I agree with you. Like, as you age, it is just a number, Mike. And you know, no matter how old you are listening to this, it is a state of mind. I truly believe that. Look, I'll say this, and I probably use this, you know, reference a couple of times this week. Dolly Parton didn't act 80.
No.
She
never.
Did not.
She was in a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader outfit 2 years ago.
You know?
I love it. No, I mean, I just think, like, if you want to come out of the womb and be the angry 75-year-old, I mean, some people are, that's how they're wired. That's fine. You know, different strokes. But I love our job. I love what we do. And we get the best listeners. And we tell you every year. But it's just so much fun. And to do what we do, for instance, today, I've got a lot of my friends or my high school buddies are on Wall Street. They're cops. They're firemen. They've got real jobs. We've got the best job in the world. We've got a really, truly blessed job and have fun. And thanks to Day Day and you and G and everybody and Oren back at the ranch for putting up with me all these years. All right, man. On to some guy talk. So ACDC last night, Carl. Great set list. They played everything you wanted to hear, but it was kind of funny. Angus Young from AC/DC, for guys who don't know the band, not everybody knows and follows rock and roll. From Australia, been in business since the early 70s, so they've got a huge catalog. Played all the songs I know as a fan I wanted to hear, so I was happy as a clam. But it's funny, he's famous for dressing up, and his routine was, I'm going to dress up as a prep schoolboy. So a little cap and a sport coat with a tie and shorts. But when you make that decision and that becomes your brand, you're stuck with that for life.
Yeah.
At least Mick Jagger is Mick Jagger.
Yes.
He can wear a t-shirt. He can wear no shirt. He can do whatever he wants. He can wear a cape. But Mick Jagger is Mick Jagger. Angus Young is known for dressing up like a schoolboy. Now you're in your 70s and you're dressing up like a schoolboy.
It's like Kiss with the makeup.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so by the time, you know, as the show progresses, he takes off the hat and eventually he loses the tie. And he's got like an Oxford shirt with his shorts and socks up to his knees. And I looked at Tony. I said, man, I never thought I'd see Angus Young from AC/DC looks just like Aunt Matilda. They look like those circulation socks. You know, like, is he wearing those copper socks?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, played a great
The compression socks.
That's it, compression socks.
Yes.
Great concert. Had a blast. Brian Johnson is 78. And a lot of these guys, they call it voice assist. They've got this computer program that and audio beefs up their voice. But he really did sound as gravelly as he always sounded. But, by the way, we had so many listeners, and everybody's like, where's Carl? I go, well, I'm sorry. I only had two tickets. They weren't cheap.
They weren't, and it's AC/DC.
Right. Sitting on the floor, by the way, it's a whole new thing. I'm used to sitting up in the stands. I mentioned to you earlier. You know they got the bathrooms outside? You're going to walk outside you got to go outside the tunnel all the way out, and they have the portable bathrooms like we have here at the Tour Championship.
Okay.
So it's like, ooh, do I hold it?
Yeah, that's a tough decision, bro. I'm with you on that. That's
do I hold it? Do I? Yeah. But no, I had to go. But anyway, we left right to the encores went a little long.
Yeah, because Tony said it.
Tony's like,
a bunch of old people in there. You got to get
out of here. No, but I mean like, you and I had this conversation. You know, if Bono starts talking politics or Springsteen, all right, time to grab a beer. I'm here for the
music.
Right,
you're right.
But last night, the solo just never ended. And God bless him. But Angus, come on, dude, let's wrap it up. So we left. And went to Cypress in my old neighborhood. You've been to Cypress.
Great bar. Great bar.
Great spot. One of the good Midtown spots. I know when Chris is coming up after us, or not actually late night, Chris Turtle Thomas. Great spot, Cypress Bar. The best cheesesteaks in town. Saw some old friends last night. Great time. So perfect concert night. And a great job, Mercedes-Benz, getting you in and out last night. It was a vibe. Good time.
I'm always curious because we've been to Jay-Z, Beyonce. I'm trying to think of the shows I've been to in Mercedes-Benz. I've maybe been to three.
And I know the
four.
Sound bangs all over the place. I like, now I got to be honest, being on the floor and picking up the audio from the stage PA, that's probably where you want to be if you can get it.
But the three or four shows that I've seen there, you know, again, these are big artists, guys, for the most part. Mike, the sound has been good. And I remember when they had that first concert.
Garth Brooks,
and everybody was complaining about. And, they, you know, you got to tweak it. Right? You figure out what where the sound's bouncing off of, and they put all the stuff in there. But long story short, that's always my concern when you play those stadium shows.
Right.
What is it going to sound like? And even outdoors, guys, I mean, like, that's a whole other element. Because sound, there's no way to keep it inside. So
I was about 50 yards. I was literally on the 50-yard line. We looked up. We were literally right under the middle of the roof. It was wild. So we were.
Did they have it open?
Nope. Oh, I wish that would have been awesome, but you know they never opened the roof. But yeah, good time, fun time. Great job last night at Mercedes-Benz. All right, honest more guy talk. Last night, Al Michaels calling the Patriots. This was it Browns or Buffalo? Who was it, Oren? Yeah, either way, he's near a lake. It's either Lake Erie or Lake something. Here's Al Michaels last night. Some got upset because, well, everyone gets political and gets in their lane. I thought this was harmless.
Cleveland, that is Lake Erie. We think it is still called Lake Erie. On the right. We're not quite sure at this point.
Yeah.
But we'll be by Lake something like Ontario or whatever it's going to be called by the time we get to Buffalo. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you do. Anyway.
Some of us do.
Yeah, right. Read the news.
So there you go. Recently, our president has decided that Lake Ontario is now Lake America. We're staying in our lane. I love Al, and I got a kick out of that. That was during the Patriots-Browns game last night in Cleveland.
How do I describe this lake that just changed names? I mean, literally. No, it's funny. And, this has to do with the tariff war that's going on between
Correct.
Us and Canada.
Yes.
Right? So
exactly.
that's where that started.
So Lake Ontario has become Lake America, like Gulf America. All right, man. Hillsborough County commissioners vote 5-2 to approve the Rays Tampa Stadium funding and a stadium in Tampa. And hats off to a good friend of ours, J.P. Peterson, who we talk a lot about the Buccaneers with.
Yes.
J.P. is really, like, sometimes you and I get behind an issue and try to drive it. And J.P. has been behind, let's get this stadium done, let's get it built, and let's tell these commissioners that we really support this team. And I respect that. So they're going to have a new ballpark in Tampa.
How much money are the citizens coming out of?
Well, that's
what's the taxpayer
paying? That's the rub, and that's why a lot of folks say, wouldn't MLB like to talk to their owners and pass that? And that's not how it works.
But Mike, we've said this: baseball doesn't work in Tampa. Sorry,
no, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
So, if you ever been down to Tampa Bay, it's in St. Pete,
correct?
And you got to spend about 40 minutes in traffic on many of the bridges, the Gandy, on the interstate, the whole shebang. It just doesn't fly. And the stadium had the roof ripped off during the hurricane. They brought it back. Anyone's been in that stadium? I was there a couple of years ago. It's like you.
You were first class. Right? Did you have your own server?
No, I had great. I was behind the Braves dugout. But guess what? It was 1997.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everything was just so old and musty and just it is what it is. But the new stadium, the population base is in north. Just like the Braves moved north of the city.
Cobb.
And that's where the fan base is. Pasco, Hillsboro, and east of Pinellas. And that's where they're going to be. Anyway, now the question now is come up with the money. Hey, so we talked yesterday about good golf. These are the guys who make the cool hats, the shirts. They team with Callaway.
They've got stuff in the PGA Superstore. Or should I say the Tour Championship
the
Superstore.
The video that came out, and as you and I spoke about yesterday, it was not the worst thing you've ever seen. It was pretty harmless. A guy becomes like a mental patient or a zombie because of his driver and pushes his wife to the ground. Well, or woman in the foursome to the ground. People went back and found a Mick Ultra ad showing a woman playing flag football, trucking a woman over a Mick Ultra. And it just didn't seem to have the same juice right now.
What year was that? Do we know?
She gets tackled. People are looking at this.
She gets creamed.
Yeah, and it looks like it was, well, I tell you what, it was before Me Too and where we are now.
Because that's what I'm saying. Like, Mike, I'm wondering what year that was. And it doesn't matter, but so you're telling me there's a double standard here.
No, it's just no common sense. Callaway cut bait. They've already donated millions of dollars to women's charities against violence against women, which should be applauded. But at the end of the day, good golf is a lifestyle. Like Barstool Sports, they're targeting men 18 to 34, 18 to 49. And in the case of Callaway's marketing, they say, well, 38% of our audience are women who probably, if they're playing golf, get the joke anyway.
But I would hope.
Anyway, good golf pulls out of their event in Austin, which was not a major, but it's a major event, but it's later this fall. I just feel bad for these guys because I like their stuff. It's not for everybody. It's clever. It's fun. How about a sense of humor? One last note on the good golf. Matt Kendrick, their CEO, apparently got a little tuned up late night. Take it from me, with my experience, don't press send.
Oh, he did that.
Here's what he wrote. Interesting that Callaway Golf asks us to make an ad, then approves it, then asks us to take the fall, then drops us in a coordinated media blitz and covers it up by paying millions of dollars away, thinking everyone will be okay with it. 30 for, I presume he says 30 for 30. He wrote 30 for 39 will be legendary.
Wow.
Yeah, that was 12 hours ago.
I think
would be 4:35 in the morning or earlier if he's in California.
Well, I guess the scotch had kicked in.
That is Guy Talk, everybody, live from the Mick Ultra tent here at Eastlake. Oh, by the way, Tour Championship update. Ryan Gerard. Who the hell is Ryan Gerard?
Who the hell is Ryan Gerard?
Day-Day, you have any idea?
No.
Me either. Ryan Gerard went to the University of North Kakalaka. He's a North Carolina guy.
Yep.
He won the Barracuda Championship in Reno, Tahoe last July. He made his bones in the Corn Ferry Tour. The reason I bring him up is Ryan Gerard is your leader through 12 holes right now. He is at 9-under. He is on fire. And check that, he just bogeyed. He is now tied with Chris Goddard. No, he's still good. Goddard just eagled or made a major birdie. Goddard at 9-under, 3-under for the round. Ryan Gerard, Ashke Bacha, Scotty Scheffler.
Yes, sir.
He's about to come by us. He's at 15. He is 3-under for the round. Scotty Scheffler in position to win the big money. He's at 8-under. Victor Hovland, yesterday's leader after 18 holes, is 8-under. And Cameron Young. So all the major players in play, Colin Morikawa, just two strokes off the lead. And now another country heard from, Justin Rose goes 5-under today at 7-under.
Justin stepping up. Tour Championship Leaderboard Update brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your local fiduciary advisor. Bobby Jones Golf Course, golf open to everyone, and Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, and scenic views. Guys, we're live at the Tour Championship. We're going to come back. We're going to get you ready for Falcons, Dolphins. Give our final thoughts before we hand things off to the pregame show with Mike Johnson and Bo Morgan. Coming up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell live at the Tour Championship, guys. Eastlake, it'll continue on Saturday and Sunday. Don't know who's going to win this tournament. Mike just gave you a leaderboard update, but it's going to be intriguing because it looks like, again, a lot of guys going low. There's a lot of intrigue here, so Sunday should be a lot of fun here at Eastlake. With that said, tonight, final preseason game, thank God, for Atlanta Falcons.
Don't you feel, though, this was the year you wanted that fourth game for the Jack Strand fans?
Of course.
You know, because you could have argued that if this was in the old school format, 16-week schedule, 4-week preseason that Jack Strand could have started this over Cooper Rush.
I agree.
If they really felt a certain way about him. Now, we don't know how the team feels. Fans are excited, but as we've tried to temper your enthusiasm, understanding this has happened for years in the NFL and the level of competition he's going up against, you've got to understand that. But that said, he's looked good against that level of competition.
He has.
So I'd love to keep him on the team. I don't want to lose him, but yet still, you just realize, as you and I broke down that 53-man roster, hard to find a spot for the big guy.
It is. And look, that's what you want as a coaching staff, right? You want tough decisions.
Right.
You don't want it so cut and dry where, Mike, you don't have competition at certain positions. Now, what we ultimately want is a franchise quarterback where we don't have to worry about for the next 10 years what that position is going to look like. We just haven't been there. So, but with that said, Tua's going to start tonight. You'll see Cooper Rush. You will see Jack Strand. Don't know how many snaps he will get, guys. But one of the things that we'll be contemplating next week is – once Kevin Stefanski names the starter, and my guess is it'll happen after tonight. What are you waiting on? Like, we got to go another week before you realize. Like, I just don't know unless he feels like Michael Penix has a legitimate chance to start. And that's the only reason. I got to tell you, Falcon fans, if he doesn't say anything here over the next couple of days, 48 hours, right, we get to Monday, and it's still, well, we're practicing, and I need to evaluate. What he's telling us without saying it is he really believes that Michael Penix could still do enough to start week one, and that's fine. But that's the only reason you don't name a starter after preseason game number three. It's the only reason.
Right. I mean, guys, we've tried to read the tea leaves. Again, if you're under 30, look it up. But anyway, we've tried to figure out what's going on and try to get a vibe for this and just what the coaching staff was looking for. Did they really value and take an evaluation from Michael Penix at 7-on-7? Or does it only matter when the rubber hits the road with 11-on-11? Did Tua do enough? Has Tua done enough good things? You just didn't see it, to your point. So we think Tua is a cheap option. That's why they got him. And he was always a really good buffer until Penix is ready. And, I have no idea of knowing. My spidey sense says not week one, maybe week two for Michael Penix Jr.
All right. And look, this is a wait-and-see proposition for Falcon fans. But the good news is tonight – we get a chance to see this offense. And, my thing is, if you're going to ask me, Dukes, what are you looking for? I'm looking for them to put a consistent drive together. Let's move the football. Let's go get some points if we can. Specifically, I'm talking about the first team. I don't care about the third team. We saw that already in second preseason game. I want to see it from the starting group. Defensively, Mike, if starters are playing, hey, let's get out there, get a stop. Hey, it'd be great to get a turnover. But at the end of the day, I want to see some cohesiveness here with the first units and then get them off the field. Because I don't want anybody injured heading into week one.
Well, that's just it. I mean, but we do want to see Juwan Taylor look like he belongs, right?
Yes.
I mean, this guy played in the biggest games in the NFL, played in Super Bowls, played in AFC Championships with the Chiefs, kind of lost his way a little bit. We were a little surprised by that cleanup procedure on his knee we were not aware of.
No, we weren't.
But is Juwan Taylor looking good? And by the way, in the second half, what does the backups look like? Because are they going to have to go maybe find somebody off of someone's cuts on August 30th to maybe shore up our depth on the O-line?
It's a good question. And that's why there will be some real evaluating going on. I know you guys are like, oh, third preseason game, it doesn't matter. Well, when you're playing your starters, it does. And so when Stefanski told us, you know, hey, here's my plan, and I thought his soundbite earlier, Mike, we played it where he talked about four preseason games and what the philosophy used to be, right? Starters who played 10 snaps in the first game. Second game, you didn't play. Third game, you played a half. Like, he laid out how most coaches around the league looked at four games. Now with three games, there's less evaluation. And I know as fans, we don't want four or five preseason games.
Right.
But I got to tell you, from a coach's standpoint, if you talk to some of these old heads around the NFL, they will tell you that gave them enough time to evaluate their depth situation, where you could really look at a player. And now, Mike, it's condensed. So you better know, right? If you're going to make that roster move, you better know, and
but
that's what's missing.
That's why we got so much about the Jack Strand conversation is we're excited. I think there's a major potential there because guys love the size and the athleticism. And the comp immediately becomes, I guess, what you saw with Josh Allen in Buffalo, right? That's why people like him. But is there enough there to, as you said, an extra lineman, defensive tackle, corner, teams?
Remember,
guys, you take double your starters, that's 44 guys. You get to 53, there's not a lot of room. And does that mean that is Cooper Rush the odd man out? Would they actually put a guy like Jack Strand at third string quarterback to start the season? That's why I just think he goes in the practice squad. You hold your fingers crossed he doesn't get picked by somebody else.
Yeah.
Because if somebody takes him in the regular season, guys, if you don't hear us talk about it, you're going to be activated onto another roster, and we lose him, and he's gone. That's the risk.
Is running the football and protecting your quarterback more important than carrying a third quarterback?
Yes.
Yes. That's the answer. This is simple math, guys. I mean, like, if you're sitting there and you're going, hey, coach, what if we have one of these guys go down? We got Jack over there.
Right.
That's not helping us. So you've got to shore up your depth from an offensive and defensive line perspective. I've talked about the DBs. We'll see how that plays out tonight. I'm curious what that rotation is going to look like, and I know Mike and Boy will be talking about that in the pregame show, but I think there's some areas that we need to focus in on. And then as we get to next week, Mike, we got 2 weeks until the opener, right? Basically September 13th, and you got a couple of weeks to figure out, hey, what this is going to look like. My thing is, I don't want to come out flat, and I don't want to come out with any excuses for the quarterback. Whoever it is, let's get behind it and ride it for week one, two, three, whatever it is. That's where I've been with Tua. Give him if they're going to start him, I got to give him a shot. Well, I don't want to go into week one and go, right, well, I want to lose because it's Tua.
No, we're going to Pittsburgh. Guys, the Steelers' offense is crap. I'm sorry. We've talked about this. I know everyone's scared about, you know, T.J. Watt and you know, Cam, you know, all these guys they've got. You know, it's Ironhead's kid. It's just
Cam Hayward.
But still, you guys, it's still the Steelers. Did you watch the playoff game last year against Houston?
They got destroyed.
They couldn't do anything. Aaron Rodgers is literally a sleeper sofa. There's no mobility there. So if we can get anything from, you and I have used the phrase money ball in our pass rush. But still, we're trying to find 25 sacks. We lost 25 sacks. We're not going to see our number one pass rusher, James Pierce Jr., till what, Madrid? Unfortunately, Jalen Walker's out for the season, and Floyd gave us 5 sacks. He's not on the roster. So I love Za'Darius Smith coming over, bringing his infectious energy. That would be a hell of a story if he could crank it up. But I'm not. You can't depend on that.
No, you can't.
So, and Caden Ellis, who nobody respects. Caden Ellis is like electricity. No one thinks about him till he's gone. Caden Ellis is not here, Carl.
No.
Can Divine Diablo do the job on the positive side? I love Kendall Daniels. I'm not sure how Bo and Mike coming up at 5 feel about him. I've loved his camp. We love the infectious energy when we spoke with him.
Sure.
Kendall Daniels, they got to find a way. I think Ober's got to find a way, who knows linebackers, to get him on the field.
Yeah, look, I think, Mike, bold and fearless. Divine Diablo will be better than Caden Ellis. At the end of the season, guys, he had 70 tackles last year in 5 less games. Because he missed those games. We also went on a 5-game losing streak without him on the field. Divine Diablo will be better than Caden Ellis. Why? Speed and length. If he stays healthy, he will lead this team in tackles.
Right.
My question is who's sitting next to him.
Correct.
That's is it Kendall? Is it Harris? I've questioned this linebacking core as a group, but we're going to see. And tonight, maybe you find out a little bit more about that. Stay tuned. The game is coming up. Pre-game at 5. Kicks at 7, guys. And Mike Conte's on the call tonight, by the way, for this preseason game. So he'll be with Art, should I say, tonight. So stay tuned for that. But Monday, man, I can't wait to come back and really start focusing in on,
right,
this is our roster. Let's stop complaining about who's not here or who's here.
Right.
And what is this going to get us? Where are we going with this? It's sort of like the Braves after the trade deadline. This is our team. Are we good enough to get there? Right now, it feels like the Braves are good enough to get there. How are you going to feel after we cut and decide our 53-man roster? Stay tuned. Preseason game number 3 is on the way. Let's get out of here and clear our throat. Thanks to Bryant McFadden. Also, our man today who stopped by, Chad Bishop from the AJC, to talk Braves.
I like this take, man.
I did too.
By the way, now I was going to do this for Clear My Throat, but since you mentioned Chad Bishop, Spencer Schwellenbach having elbow surgery, Hurston Waldrop will have Tommy John surgery.
Oh, that's
so
tough.
So whatever you guys are projecting for your 2027 starting rotation.
Tough.
But that's not just the Braves, but they do seem snake bit when it comes to their starting pitching and the guys that come up through the system.
No doubt. All right, man. Braves in action against the Rockies over the weekend. We're keeping tabs on that. Obviously, here at the Tour Championship, we'll be talking plenty about that on Monday. And we head towards the regular season in the NFL. Make sure you're there at 2 o'clock. Stay tuned. Bo and Mike have you covered. Hey, Commissioner Gordon, on-site engineer, always great to have you back at the studio, Big O. And, of course, Day-Day, our executive producer, who's out here with us today at the Tour Championship. Thanks to all the wonderful folks out here at the Tour as well, man.
Hey, man, great time. What an amazing event. If you're coming out on Saturday and Sunday, make sure you swing by the Mick Ultra tent. And it's the club scene here is a vibe. It really is off the 17th fairway. Who's going to win this?
What's going on with Scotty Scheffler?
You're not going for the young guy off the Corn Ferry Tour stuff?
I'll be honest with you guys. I did not have anything on Scotty prior to yesterday. He finished 5-under. I said he's going to win it. Today, he's in the hunt. And once he takes the lead, he's like Tiger. Forget about it. That's my guess.
You know what?
We will see.
He might look like a geek. I'm going with Oshkay Bakcha.
He's putting unbelievable today. All right, man. Mike, happy birthday to you. Enjoy
Thanks,
the weekend.
Brother. Go Noles.
Go, yeah. Sorry about that. Hey, but
by the way, don't bet the 31.5. They don't cover a big number.
I'm not touching it. Yeah. Hey, man, Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, we talked about this earlier. Good golf. No, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but we're trying to make golf fun and cool and hip. And again, if you're a part of the Barstool generation, you're a guy 18 to 49, you kind of get a kick out of the shirts. I've got a few of their shirts. And unfortunately, they had a fun ad. But with a woman getting pushed on the ground. She's laughing while she gets pushed on the ground. But it was about a golf club. And if you play golf and you really love your driver, you get the joke. But no one gets the joke. And Callaway completely crapped their pants. Not shame on good golf. Shame on Callaway. Shame on Callaway for abandoning these guys that they decided to get in bed with because they knew what this was about. And then, oh my goodness, it blows up and people don't even have any reference point to what this is about or any context. Say, let's cancel these people. These guys worked hard to establish their brand. They hustled, they worked their butts off. And now they've lost a major market share and Callaway let them twist in the wind. Shame on you, Callaway.
Can I tell you guys a secret? All these professional athletes are really talented. But you know what makes them different? Chris Sale's attitude last night. It's what I want to see from all of our professional athletes in this city. Let's grind, let's push, and even when you go, well, you know, I might not be ready, go do it. Chris Sale set an example last night because he could have easily said, no, Skip, I'm good, but instead he went in there and said, Walt Weiss, I got this, and then went out and finished a complete game. It's attitude, right? It's not ability. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you're not ready after 3:11 on 11s either.